and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 189. Poor Mike's missing it. He's doing the Brooklyn's news. Oh no. Hello. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, we've missed you. Have you caught up yet? Are you enjoying MacBite's 143? Just asking. Oh, did we get a bit to mischief in your absence, Jonathan? Hello, Debbie. Hello, Paul. Alarmingly early in Sydney. Oh, how is it? Things are going from bad to worse here. I could blame Kim, but I won't, because Kim's fabulous. But Kim asked a question yesterday, and she wasn't wrong to ask that question. She couldn't believe that London was still blue, when up here, bright red. Apparently, movement on the London front, Kim. They are 3 days behind us, and thus, looking at lockdown. Ah, joy. Joy. So what else is going on in everybody's lives? We've had a bit of a couple of days of it, to be honest. Ah, good to be back. Excellent, Jonathan. You've got after hours to look forward to. Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one, if we do say so ourselves. There was lots of teasing going on, Jonathan. I found a toy today. Rather a nice toy. I have some of these toys, but this one is a new version of the toy. You know the magic MacBite's cupboard? It's full of 8 terabyte drives. They've just released this one. Oh, I'm so excited. Or I would be if it would paste. Go on. Oh, this machine is driving me insane. No, now the clipboard's not working on top of everything else. Screen's flickering like crazy. And it's just generally acting up. Not good. Come on. Right, I've copied it. Fingers crossed. Let me paste it. Yay! There we go. Look at that. Oh, I'm so tempted. I remember when I had this setup, I've got a photograph of it somewhere. It was a 24-inch white iMac. And on either side of it, I'd got some Seagate hard drives. They were white and they had a kind of pulsing Seagate logo on them. And I had 6 of them, 3 on one side, 3 on the other. Each one was a terabyte. And now we've got 16 terabytes. Oh, wow. So tempted. Walk away, leave it alone, don't need any storage. Mind you, I can always do with storage. Oh, I can always do with storage. So how is it today? Have you managed to get out, Kim, with the lovely Kiva? Madam got herself into trouble today. Clearly not getting enough in the way of treats, despite the fact we have a Pantechnicon full on its way. She went into the garden and started eating mud. Mike went mental with her. And she just rolled her eyes and walked off like the true princess that she is, bless her. Ooh, let's have a look. The brick ones, the Lassie brick. Was that the one with the actual, the one that looked like Lego? Get that. No one, now it won't paste that, God's sake. Oh, you drop it. The one that looked like Lego. No, I didn't have that one. The one that I had around that time was the silver one that stood up. It had like a kind of pushed in button on the front and a blue light. Blue lights used to drive me mad. But yeah, I do remember that one. I do remember it. Good to unwind. Jonathan, don't make a habit of it. We missed you. Mind you, does this mean you're fit and ready for Friday? Or will a week of work put paid to that? Oh dear. What else has been going on here today? Let me have a look. Oh, I had that map got updated. Let me see if I can find that. That's just been a... Oh no, it wasn't that map. That's right. It was this that got updated. You know, we talked about the graph and we used to look at the graph. And then the graph was fabulous and it all just went down and there was no problem. You know, not a problem at all. Oh, come on. It is not copying and pasting. It's been copied. It's on the clipboard. I paste. It's not there. Oh, good evening, Anthony. How are you doing? You're off on Friday in theory. Oh, game on. Game on. Is it a double pointer? Are we playing for 2 points or have we just written this one off? Oh, come on. I need to copy this and you're not copying it. You are so bad. Right, shall we try it again? Oh, whoopee-doo. Right, this is our graph. Do you remember the flattening of the curve? That. This is what we're facing at the moment. And Boris is saying, what second wave? And, just to add insult to injury, I'm sure we've mentioned in the past, one of my favourite places to go as a child was Blackpool. That was the place that had the theme park, only it's called the Pleasure Beach, if you remember. Well, they put out a thing on Friday and said, please do not come here this weekend because Lancashire, which is where it is going into lockdown tomorrow. So they said, please don't come. Please let's not have any last hurrahs. You know what happened next, don't you? Last hurrahs at Blackpool. No social distancing, no masks. Absolutely as newts wandering around. There are no words. Clearly, no words. I mean, I know we knew it would happen, but I don't know. When I see it, when I see the photos, I'm even more incredulous than the last time. Because, you know, you can see from the first one, the graph. And I know these are young people, but not every young person is card-carrying stupid. And yet it seems they are. So, oh, have we got a match on? Is there a game on, Kim? Didn't end well yesterday for Mike. He's not quite recovered yet. And he's got another one to face on Tuesday. Where is it? Is it higher up? You had a great walk. Excellent. Lola's been out and done the rounds of the park. So she's had a very good day. I was talking to somebody who's based somewhere. They went to Idaho. So they must be to the west of that. I don't think it's Washington, though. Anyway, either way. They've not been allowed out. Smoke and smog have been that bad, and she has a child with breathing difficulties who's not been able to leave the house for 10 days, so she's just gone out today to get some fresh air for the first time, but it was that bad there, which shocking, isn't it? Oh dear. Right, not one of the selected TV games. Yeah, unfortunately for Mike, the United one was, and he had to sit and watch it and to suffer, and as if that wasn't bad enough, he had to pay for the privilege. They should pay him to watch. Apparently it was that bad. Victoria have gone 10 days with under 50 cases. That's good. It's working, but still got people protesting about it. I can't understand that. Maybe I'm just incredibly laid back, but I wouldn't why would you protest about it? What is it that you want to do that's worth trading your life for? Or the life of somebody that you know and love? I can't get that. Are you done?
Yes.
I bet that was a tough one to deliver.
Yeah.
If you were with us last night on By Request, you may have heard that one of our friends had had a fall on Friday. Now, this guy's fit as a fiddle, isn't he?
He is.
On a bike, dancing to the music that we play on By Request. He's actually provincial president. And he has this fall, just literally coming in out of his garden, just trips up. Hits his head, ends up with a bleed on the brain. So they get him into hospital. We all hear about it. So prayers being said, etc. And they got, was it Saturday afternoon? It was, wasn't it? Well, Saturday morning, the news came through, because we were all like, oh, if anyone will pull through, he'll pull through. And, you know, he only tripped up. You know, it wasn't like a road accident or something. And the news from the hospital was they're not going to treat him. And I said, why not? You know, he's fitter than I am. But he was 82, so they wouldn't treat him. So last night, him and his wife were always very active in the chat, weren't they? Particularly Andrea, who's very tech savvy, despite the fact she's in her mid-80s as well. And I wasn't expecting her to be in there. But the full story turned out to be she was actually at the hospital, but she wanted to play him some music. You know, like they say when somebody's in a coma, just play some music. So she wanted to play him some music, and that's why she had Brooklyn's By Request on. And she's in the chat saying, you know, if you're going to play him a song, can you let me know? So obviously we'd already keyed up three songs for him. And then a guy came on and wanted us to play another song for him. And then she came back on later on, probably around 11 o'clock-ish, and said, if you are, because somebody suggested going out to a song, yeah, that, you know, one of his favourites, basically. And his favourites are T-Rex. So I said to Mike, give me 5 minutes, I'll put a T-Rex playlist together. So I managed to get together 2 hours, 20 minutes of the greatest hits of T-Rex. So I said, let's go out to that and leave it running all night. You know, she's at the hospital, sitting next to him, playing him his favourite music, listening to the radio station. So that was what we did. And I went to bed quite early for me, about 25 to 3, something like that. And the last thing I did before I went to bed was make sure that this playlist was still playing on a loop. And unfortunately, we got the news this morning that he passed away at 2:30. Listening to T-Rex on Brooklands. It's just devastating, isn't it? Because he was such a lovely, lovely, lovely man. He lived and breathed Katinianism, didn't he? And I think he'd been to almost 120 meetings since lockdown.
Something like that.
It was amazing. If there was a meeting, he was there. So very, very sad news.
Anyway, it's my last chance tonight.
Is it to what?
To say 189.
I thought that when I did it. Do you want to do it anyway?
Yes.
Should we do it again?
Yes.
It's day
189.
Because it'll be 190 tomorrow, and that just doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
It's the 10-day countdown to 2000 tomorrow. So, yes, it was a bit... we actually contemplated...
What's a week today?
What's a week today? 197!
No.
Isn't it? Cool.
189 plus 7.
Oh!
It's 196.
196, okay, 196. We'll do that. We'll do that then, fair enough. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we actually thought
my
about...
My bias 196.
Yes, okay. We actually thought about binning the show, didn't we? But you said you wouldn't want that.
No.
And it was just as well that we didn't, because we had no idea that she was listening. She must have been listening for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And not said a word. And then all of a sudden popped up. But if we hadn't been going, then we wouldn't have been able to put the music on at the end. And that was what she was playing him. So good job that we did decide that that is what he would have wanted. And if you were with us in the chat, you'll have seen the picture of him wearing a load of balloons. What did that look like? That was a saga from last year when Mike was P. We have two ladies that do flowers, you know, big on flower arranging. One of them is not me, but I don't think that would come as a big surprise to you. So I said to Mike, both of them have offered to do the flowers. What do I do now? So Mike's like, I'll leave that with you and run for the hills. So I said, I am not offending either one of them. He said, well, you could always do them yourself. And I said, yeah, and I don't want to do flowers. So what we decided for ladies' night, and this was unheard of, ladies' night equals flowers. Flowers, ladies' night. And I said, well, that's it. What we'll do is we won't have flowers. We'll have balloons. So it looked like a kid's party. It was full of balloons. So we had big helium balloons with confetti in, like glittery confetti. And we also had on the table pumps and the kind of balloons, the long sausage balloons that you turn into animals. Well, we had all sorts made out of that. There was air guitars. There was the Katinian chain that got presented to Mike. there was somebody built a canopy on top of it, so it was like a hot air balloon. But at the table that Peter and his wife were at, the other people on the table had made him a hat. So it was like a balloon hat with like a big peak on the front. And he sat there, bless him. There he is, provincial president. He sat there and he wore it all night while he was eating his food, while he was dancing. And this picture was put in last night and it epitomised him, didn't it?
It did.
It did. So very sombre day. No idea how his wife's getting on, but she's with the family. So word's getting round and now we've got to orchestrate a funeral in the middle of potentially a total lockdown. So we'll see how that goes. Thank you for all your kind words. I'm going to miss him. We're going to miss him. Jonathan, until we get to 180,000, it won't be long.
That's 493 years, Jonathan.
I just an idea, but I don't think I'll make that long myself. Although, you know, in a spreadsheet, when you can just keep pulling down and you think, take it to 100, then you think, I'll take it to 200. And I'm looking at the maroon thing and I thought, when will day 1,000 be? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I set it to 1,000 on that chat generator.
It's December.
It's next year, isn't it?
No.
Well, no, it's 3 years, isn't it? 2020.
It's 2022, isn't it?
Yeah,
2022. Yeah. It's December, anyway.
Course that would leave us with 179,000.
Yeah, only a few to go.
To go.
Mm, yeah, it'll be fine. Kim said she just thought it was kind of us to put on a 2-hour T-Rex show. Just as well we did, didn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I found these songs and I'm like, I know he likes that one and I know he likes that one. And the thing was, I could probably have named maybe one T-Rex song when we started doing By Request. But every week he'd request a different one. And then he'd be like, oh, we'll play that one. And you know when we do our theme of like animals and colour and stuff like that? Well, obviously, Ride a White Swan. It's fabulous. He can pick that for transport, colour and animals. And he did. So we were forever playing T-Rex songs. And, you know, now I know an awful lot of them. So it was my pleasure to put it together last night. Laugh if it was. At the beginning, I was juggling with the mask as well, wasn't I? Mm. People moaning about the mask. So that you would not imagine that the things that go on here when you're actually trying to do a show. So I'd sorted that out. And then we came to this bit and I said, she's actually at the hospital. And we're like talking between ourselves. And I said, well, if you think about it, not everybody has Apple Music on demand or Spotify on demand. I said, and she wants to give him some kind of, I mean, we were hoping for a miracle at this point, despite what the quacks say. Never trust a quack. We were hoping, you know, and obviously she was hoping it might do some good. So she put the kind of radio station on for the kind of music that he liked and voices that he would know in addition to the family. But as it got later and was like, well, we don't want to put something on at the end. Like, what do we put on? Not the Baby Jesus music, obviously. But, you know, you wouldn't want something on like 80s girls or 80s boys.
No.
So we were trying to kick around. What could we put on? And I said, give me a little bit of time and I'll put, you know, just T-Rex on. And we played it all the way through to this morning, which was when we discovered he made it almost to the end. He would have made it just to the end. So he would have heard the entire playlist.
It's I'm amazing. Calling this tonight's for Peter.
Yes, let's not have any jokes and stuff.
Peter. Doesn't need anything else.
Ah, Paul heard the T-Rex stuff. I'm a T-Rex fan now, what can I say? There was a funny story from Peter with that. He told us how he got into T-Rex, because obviously he was 82. So even in the 80s...
We think of the fact he's always been 82.
I know. But, you know, even in the 80s, he would have been in his 40s.
Yeah.
So... when we were in our
Johnny force. Likes T-Rex and he's a millennial.
Well, it's true. That obviously transcends. But, you know, you do tend to have an era, don't you?
Yeah.
So he was saying that he was...
never heard of T-Rex.
He was at university and I thought, you know, you're doing the maths at this point. Like, he must have been in his 40s. What do you mean he was at university? But it turns out, whatever his first job was, he'd got requalified and he went down to university in London to do quite a long course. And while he was down there, they were having parties, and T-Rex was one of the bands that was playing quite a lot. Imagine, but then he would only have been in his late 30s, wouldn't he, in the 70s? Yeah. Anyway, that was where he picked it up from. So he's busy telling us, right, that he'd been down to London and there was these parties and every night he was partying. And Andrea, who's his wife, she's fabulous. She is, honestly. Do you remember her sorting the Zoom thing out? Oh, yes, yes, obviously you do this and you do that. She's in her mid-80s. She's fantastic. So she, dry as anything, came into the chat and said, yeah, what he didn't tell you was he left me at home with four kids. So she was doing the single mother thing while he was doing the university thing and partying every night. I don't think she minded, though.
No.
But they're such an amazing couple. They go everywhere together. So as I say, he knows everybody in the Catanians, doesn't he? Mm. Everybody. And he goes to... He was actually going to Aberdeen this year, wasn't he? For the conference, obviously that got cancelled. But every conference year, he goes to the conference, wherever it is. Sometimes he's not even in this country. And he does like three meetings, because the more meetings you go to, the more brownie points you get. He must have had the most brownie points ever.
He also goes to the golf weekends just to socialise, because he doesn't play golf.
It's amazing. And you know, he's totally unfazed. You think of people in their 80s, they can be quite judgmental of younger folk. So last October, when we took Lola on, within 2 weeks, we were going over to Leeds, if you remember. Not Leeds. Harrogate. York.
Yeah.
Right, we were going over to York. So we checked with the hotel and they took dogs. So well, we'll take Lola with us. It'll be fine. Nothing wrong with that. And when we pulled up, I think we'd gone in, hadn't we? And we were just coming out of the room with Lola in tow. And we saw the pair of them. He was all over her. She was all over him. And Andrew's like, oh, I've got to see this dog. You know, other people were like, what if they brought a dog with them for? Because we can. You know, why have you bought 14 pairs of shoes with you? But they were just totally accepted and said, oh, yeah, that's Mike and Elaine. Of course they would. Happy, happy memories. We do have a lot of happy memories, so we're very, very lucky. Banga Gong.
Do we know Banga Gong?
Yeah, yeah. One of the T-Rex ones we play. I was amazed at how many I knew. But yeah, well, we can throw a 2-hour show together in 5 minutes flat. Yeah, I can do that. It was like trying to find something that was appropriate to go out to. Because you don't want to go out to like, you know, the chicken song has been totally inappropriate. And it's how to keep the community spirit going in. I mean, it was difficult enough thinking you don't want to be coming off as like, you know, okay, Peter's not too well, but let's party. You don't want that. But I can't tell you how much more difficult it was when we realised that she was actually listening and playing it to him. And really, we just have to carry on. You know, we'd done the bit at the beginning, but then as it came to the end, she said she's trying to play music to him. No alternative as far as I'm concerned. So that's what happened. It took away the need to actually try and find something. Because sometimes, you know, we've got people listening any kind of age up to their 90s, and some of them, there's one in particular with his songs, isn't there? They are of a definite genre, and some of them are quite choral. One sounded like a funeral march. Luckily, he didn't pick that one last night. But he did send in 2 lots of 3, didn't he?
Mm.
And I'm trying to get the right tone for it. And you're very mindful of the fact, one, she's in the chat, and two, she's actually listening and she's playing it to him. But you've got to try and keep it as normal as possible as well, because you don't want it to be like a funeral march. That was tricky. That was really tricky. I think the nearest thing we've ever done to that on MacBites, what were we like when we did 56? We were all ready to do a MacBite, which obviously this was 2011. That was unusual enough in itself. Bearing in mind there was how many MacBites? 50% of the content has happened this year. So 2011, we were all ready to do a MacBites. We got all the stuff ready. Right, let's do a MacBites. And the day before we're ready to do a MacBite, Steve Jobs died. And I'm like, we can't do all of this jokery that we're going to do. So I said, right, what we'll do is we'll do a tribute to Steve. And we literally said to each other, how difficult could that be? Oh, my God. We sat down. I said, well, we've got to mention this. You know, what does Steve Jobs mean to you? And it was like our first Mac, and then there was this, and then there was the fabulous presentations that he did. And we were throwing down ideas. And it was only going to be about five to 6 minutes, something like that. And we were like, yeah, we can do that. Right, we're sorted. And I toddled off to the studio to do my bit. Mike was in the office ready to do his bit. And we started going, and we just went. Mm. We'd been laughing and joking about it, so, you know, Steve wouldn't want us modelling or whatever, until we got in to do it. And all of a sudden, it was so, so difficult. We got through it somehow. That was 2011. And then, of course, when my dad died, we literally, the week before, only told people he was ill, because he'd been ill for 2.5 years. So our schedule that was anything but reasonable, that was why we were trying to deal with that for 2.5 years. At the point we put that show out and we finally said, you know, Dad's not actually very well. In fact, it's pretty bad. It was the first people had heard of it. So they were so shocked the week after when he died. And we weren't expecting it either at that point. So I did. I said, I'll sort of tell them a bit about Dad at the end. Oh, it was so difficult. I'm just glad Mike wasn't there listening while I was making mistakes and falling over myself. And just as we'd sorted that out, then Maya died in the summer. And I said, you know, we did a tribute to Dad and I want to do a tribute to Maya. But it's difficult. It really is difficult. We'd done an entire show. If you can imagine doing the entire show, just like as we are now, you know what we're like. And then all of a sudden you've got to totally change the tone. And at that point, so in the show, people who are listening to it for the first time have no idea what's about to come. And then when they do, do you remember Minster? Mm. Minster used to listen on his bike on the way home. He had a push bike. One of the, you know, racing bike things. He had watches and helmets and all kinds of stuff. And he had no idea what was coming. I mean, how can you say, oh, and by the way, at the end, the dog died? So we didn't. We just went through the entire show as we would normally. And then at the end, when the series sketch would have been on, there was this piece about Maya. And when he got home, he said, oh, my God, I nearly came off my bike. He said, I couldn't see for crying. He'd got, like, his goggles on, and he couldn't see for crying because it came totally out of the blue. So we thought, well, it's all sorted now. We're all right now. And then Mum died at the Christmas, and I said to Mike, I can't do it. I can't do it again. But then I couldn't leave her out either. So we waited, because by that stage, January was a write-off, a total write-off. February wasn't much better, because I ended up with tooth abscesses that I didn't particularly want to see a dentist about. Don't shout at me, Kim. I could take the pain. I couldn't take the thought of going to the dentist until I saw my reflection in the mirror and thought, you don't get to a dentist, you'll end up with it going into your brain stem. So I did go to the dentist at that point. So it was probably about the end of March before we actually got round to telling people that she died at the Christmas. But do you know, I had to leave it that long. And what was I like writing a eulogy?
Mm.
I was a basket case. And I just said to Mike, I cannot capture the essence in words. You know, you just can't. She was unique, and I can't do that. And I was in a right state, and I wouldn't mind. You know, who was going to be at the funeral? Well, me, Mike, and Mum, and that was all I could guarantee. So it didn't really matter, but it did matter that it was right. And there was a lot of stuff that I had to leave out. I wanted to put it in, but it was like, yeah, it's not really appropriate at a funeral. But to me, it was important. So when I came to do the thing for Mike Bites, I'm like, you know, all that stuff I cut out, that's what needs to be said. So I put it all in the bit in Mac Bites. And again, we had somebody saying, didn't we? And I did warn her. She said, I'm going to listen to the last show. We met at a conference. And she said, I'm going to listen to the last show. And I said, make sure you've got some hankies at the end. And I think she thought I was joking. But when she'd heard it, she went, oh, my God. Oh, dear.
Is your team not playing today, Kim?
Kim's team are playing, I believe.
I don't see them listed. NFL's got its own page on the BBC Sports.
Oh, I'm going to have a look at this. Keep up with it all.
Yeah, I'll put the link in.
I've never been to York at Christmas, Jonathan. In fact, I've not been to York for years. I did go, but I was probably about 14, something like that. It was a while ago.
Chicago Bears.
The bears.
Like Lola Bears.
The Lola Bears.
Lola Bears.
Anthony, why wouldn't you bring a dog? Exactly, Anthony. See, you're on our wavelength. If it's pet friendly, what's the problem? They charged you £10 a night for the dog. I'm not quite sure why. They weren't feeding it.
It's for the cleaning the room.
Well, she pretty much wanders around licking everything, including probably, mud in the garden.
She's probably much cleaner than half the people.
Exactly, she is. She is. She was worth every penny. And she was allowed to go into the bar area. Well, that caused a stir. So into the bar area, she toddled. Good job she's not as vocal as she is now. No, she was very, very quiet then. And she was outside while I was uploading... No, it wasn't 64.
That's 20 past one tomorrow morning.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Seahawks playing Patriots.
I'll leave the page open. I might see it. You might not. Don't know. We'll see how it goes. Still getting messages in here for Peter, aren't we?
Yes, Bruce has just posted. Another one.
Yeah, everyone's devastated because he acted like a child. He never lost the kind of wide-eyed innocence and enjoyment of a child. So, of course, we're all devastated. Good grief. Right, I'm going to leave the page open so I know if they won, Kim. Because last week I got somewhere in the last quarter. But I'm never quite sure because it seems to be, don't take this the wrong way, but it seems to be quite slow. Because if we had 15 minutes left on a game, the most it would take is 20. But yours seems to take like 45 minutes for the last 15. And I don't understand it. I'm like, has the internet stopped? But apparently not. It's very stop start as far as we're concerned. Did you know what I need to do that I've never actually done?
What?
Sit and watch a game. Then I might understand it.
See you, Johnny.
It's not on often, is it? Night, Jonathan.
Enjoy after hours.
He didn't fall for it, did he? When I said episode 143. Darn it. We'll do that. Oh, it's a thing that it takes forever. Excellent. Now I know that. We only see the highlights here, I think.
Yeah, do they stop the clock like every time the ball goes out of play?
They stop the clock a lot, don't they, and then like regroup.
Yeah.
And what's that? What do they call that thing? Where they're all lined up and then the playbook comes out. And you're like, why are you getting the manual out in the middle of the match? But you know, that's just us.
It touchdown, like lockdown.
No, not touchdown. Where they all get into a
huddle.
Like a position that they take
based
on the playbook.
Ah, yeah. I don't know.
But I think they assume that the Brits are interested in the play, but not particularly all of the gaps. So they tend not to put the game on live. You get the edited highlights later. I think from memory, the only game I've ever seen them put on live was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think.
And it's, again, you know, like you say, it's at silly o'clock in the morning. The BBC don't have ads, so they'd have to go. So that's why Paul fast forwards it. There's a lot of ads, isn't there? There is. If that happened in football, the game would take just as long as yours. There's a lot of wasted time in football, isn't there? But now it's all calculated and VAR'd.
Oh, 6 minutes of injury time in the United game yesterday.
Yeah, that used to be unheard of. You'd never get more than two, would you?
No.
But I mean, now they can hold up like 12 minutes. The only time I would say legitimately I expected there to be like 15 minutes of injury time was that match against Coventry.
Oh, when David Bust broke his leg.
There was a guy, he was a defender, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He'd gone up at a corner. So the defenders will go up at a corner because they tend to be quite tall and they're trying to get a goal. And he went up for this corner and the ball was played in. You find a link, probably. The ball was played in and he jumped for it and somebody else jumped for it and he just landed awkward. It wasn't a foul per se. He just landed quite awkwardly. But his leg snapped. So he's lying on the ground. We knew instantly, and we were like half a pitch away, that it was a bad one. Just from the way he went down and he didn't move. And all of the players were like around him. But it was actually much more serious than we could see. So his leg was literally at a 90 degree angle, smashed it like across his shin.
I don't think he actually touched anybody.
No, he didn't. He just landed badly.
Yeah.
He literally just landed badly. But the thing was, Peter Schmeichel, being the goalkeeper, was very, very close to him. And he could see the state of this. There was blood all over the pitch. All the medical stuff went on from both sides. We got doctors in the stands who you know, ran past us and they ended up on the pitch. So there was like, I mean, now that's normal, isn't it? But that back then it wasn't. If somebody went down, one physiotherapist would go on and that's it. And he would have like a little black bag. What year was that? Must have been the 90s.
1996.
Yeah. So I remember all the medical stuff going on. So obviously it looked like emergency ward 10. But the worst thing was they expected when they finally got him off the pitch and they didn't dare move him, the state he was in, it took about 15 minutes, which is, again, unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. They drag him off in 2 minutes flat. But Peter Schmeichel was leaning against the goalpost and he was virtually being sick. He couldn't look at the ground because there was basically half this guy's leg on it. There was blood all over it. And he said, you're going to have to bring some sand on. You know, I can't. And he looked like he was going to be sick. So that was probably the worst ever injury I think I've seen. Mm. And as he was being carried off, and again, this is totally unheard of. Most of the time, in this situation, it was at Old Trafford. So the home crowd would be booing about the waste of time and stuff. But without exception, and it's just a situation, isn't it, where you just know how serious it is. Everybody, home fans, away fans, gave him a standing ovation as he was dragged off. Didn't he end up in Salford Royal?
Don't know, probably.
I think he was in...
But whilst he was in a hospital, he got MRSA.
It ended up, but that he ended up losing most of the muscle in this leg.
Yeah, and that's how come he had to quit football.
It would have been a bad break anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Clough had the same type of thing, didn't he? So he never played again. So it was shocking. That was a really, really bad injury. You don't see them that bad that often. Anthony says you would imagine most people were happy to see her. They were, Anthony. It was comical because Mike and Nina, not dog people. Our best buddies in the Catanians, but not dog people. That's how come we look after their son's dog when they go on holiday because they're not dog people. But they knew we had Lola. And Rachel said to them, what do you think the chances are they brought the dog? And Nina was like, no. And then Nina said, oh, hang on, maybe. And she said, no. And they pulled into the car park and there's us waiting for them with Lola on the end of a lead. And Rachel got out of the car and said, told you. Oh, it was a good day. It was a good day. Mike could do the... What Mike should do when he comes to watch the football, Paul, is really simple. Record it, let me vet it, and then tell him if he wants to see it or not.
Hope Hospital, yeah.
Hmm?
Hope Hospital.
Yes, that's Salford Royal, as was. And then he got moved somewhere else, and then he got moved to a specialist unit, but it's too late by then. Oh, Kim, the head does bleed a lot, and there was... Terry Watts, it wasn't there. Terry Butcher. This one's an absolute classic. Let's have a look if we can get a picture. I think that was the 80s. And this was an England match. And he was a defender. Let's get it. There it is. I'll grab that picky and I'll sling it up and show you this. This was him at the end of the match. He got a cut head. Obviously... In this day and age, that's an immediate, you're off. But not with this one, obviously. That was what he looked like at the end of the game. Do you know he's a legend? He's a total legend for that. When you see, I think I've got another picky there. We can see the rest. Yeah, he played the rest of the game like that. What point did he get injured?
No idea.
Because he played the rest of the game. That would not be allowed these days. But Kim, you're not kidding, the head bleeds a lot. Look at those two. He is a total legend. Now, if there is any blood whatsoever, they have to be taken off and have it dealt with. But back in the day, as you can see, nope, just carry on. This is why England playing white. England's second strip is red, so shame we didn't have that on that day. Wouldn't have noticed. Oh, yes, it was a bad one, that, wasn't it? He carried on. The only other one I've heard of as serious as that who's carried on was many, many years ago, Bert Trautman, wasn't it?
Mm,
there was a goalkeeper playing for City and it was in a cup final And he went down, fell awkward. I think there was a foul involved. He fell awkwardly. And he got up and he was rubbing his neck and saying like his neck didn't feel great. But he stood up and he kind of shook himself and said, right, let's carry on. And he played the rest of the match. And it was only afterwards. So there was no blood involved in this, I don't think. But afterwards, they found out he'd broken his neck. And he finished the game with a broken neck. These days, if they split a nail, they're off. But he actually finished the match with a broken neck. Yes. I don't actually know. Was that a clash of heads? Just a clash of heads, wasn't it?
Terry Butcher.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't a serious foul or anything. But like you say, it does just bleed and it bleeds badly. Oh, yeah. They do need to man up. Nothing annoys me more than them going down in episodes, as we say. What we mean by that is like there's a slight touch and then virtually like a 2-3 second gap and then they fall over. And you're like, you're going down in episodes, mate. Forget it. That's not a foul. But they're just trying to get the advantage. Now, of course, the referee will book you for that. So if you get two bookings, you're off. But the thing is, people are still doing it. And they're just, it's getting worse, not better. And yet you watch like games like rugby, and particularly the ladies in the rugby, there was a one who got really badly injured. And she, again, I think she got a hairline fracture of her leg and she carried on. She finished the match and then said, I'll sort it out later. Actually finished the match. And the boys, oh, I've broken a nail, I've got to come off. But, you know, they don't make them like Terry Butcher anymore. No, they do need to have their expectations realigned, shall we say. I just wish they'd play the game and stop trying to get an edge, you know, with a free kick or a penalty or something. Because, and why do they think they're going to get away with it? That's another point. Why do they think they're going to get away with it? Because there's so many now cameras all over the place and VAR stuff. You're not going to get away with it. It's going to go to VAR. You can't get away with claiming it's a foul if it's not. And yet they still do it. It's as though it's like ingrained. You look at all these pictures and there's quite a few in this country. I don't... It is one of Incy, isn't it? Do you remember when he played with that thing on his head?
Yeah.
Again, wasn't that... was he captain that day and that's why he didn't want to come off?
Can't remember.
But when he started the match, he didn't have the bandage on his head. I'll pop this up. And again, you can see white shirts, all meant to be with the white shirts. I think, wasn't he captain when we played America? But this is what he looked like. He didn't want to come off. So they wrapped like a turban round his head. What does he look like? And he finished the match like that. Yeah, but Terry Butcher's the classic. Terry Butcher looked just frightening. He looked like something out of a horror film by the time he'd finished. Must learn to do it early. You'd think not, Kim, nowadays. I don't know when it develops. Because what they do now is they have like a whole education team for the youngsters. And they are given proper education lessons. They're taught community responsibility, you know, and how not to be on a football pitch. And then all of a sudden, they just, a switch seems to flick and they become complete yobs. I don't understand it. They wouldn't get away with it when they're younger. It seems to be when they get into the first team. So whether it's an arrogance of I'm now in the first team, I don't know. But I mean, we've got a few England players that are legends and Terry Butcher's one of them, obviously, for finishing a match in that state. Who are the others? You say they're a legend. Stuart Pearce, that penalty.
Mm.
Stuart Pearce was one of our best defenders. And it came to one of these matches and it went to penalties. And England never do well with penalties. We have a phrase in the UK, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a bazooka. I think it was his penalty that was like the decider. So he heads off to take this penalty, misses it by a royal mile. He's absolutely distraught. About 4 years later, 6 years later, England are in another European type thing, World Cup, Euro finals, and England go to penalties again. And it's like, will he take one? because obviously it didn't end well the last time.
I think it was against Spain.
I thought it was in here when he actually scored it. But he decided he would. He took courage in both hands and he went up to take this goal, this penalty.
Yeah, it was Spain 96.
And he scored it, and you should have seen him. He was so thrilled, wasn't he? He ran up to the camera, was like, yes, yes! As though, like, he put all the wrongs right. Put the link into that video.
All the demons.
Yep, it was a good penalty there, wasn't it? But you can just see the complete relief on his face. I mean, that took courage, because he was already, you know, the fans were like, oh, he missed one last time. But he managed to score this one. But the sheer joy and relief on his face was just a joy to see. You prefer to watch world football to US football, except for the fake injuries. Yeah, I've got to agree with that. I really can't do with them doing that. I don't like that at all. I actually, what used to happen here a good few years ago, the Premier League would have matches on a Saturday, a Sunday and a Monday. So there would generally be three Premier League matches across the weekend. But to give some money to the lower leagues and to have a match on a Friday night, they would put a match from one of the lower leagues on the Friday night. I love that. They played football. It wasn't all, you know, piddling about trying to get the advantage. They actually played football. And I said to Mike, these matches are fantastic. This is the kind of football that I would like to watch. But they don't do that anymore, do they? Do they not have the rights to it anymore?
Don't know.
Because you now might get a Premier League match on a Friday. But yeah, they were great. I would love it if they came back. But I don't think we'll see that again. It's all too fragmented. And obviously at the moment, season started and nobody's got a season ticket, so no one's going. How long can they sustain that? They're paying these players, and for some clubs, from what? Now, obviously, Manchester United, they've lost all the revenue from the matches, but that wasn't their sole source of income. The second source of income is probably shirt sales and memorabilia. And the third is renting out the ground for special events. You know, you can do weddings, business conferences. Obviously, you're not doing that at the moment either. But they still have the international shirt revenue, which I don't know if that will be enough to pay the players. No idea. But at least they've got some income. They've not made anybody redundant. They've made donations to charity. But, you know, you have to ask the question, how long can other teams survive? I mean, are they just giving them an overdraft or what?
Don't know.
What would happen if somebody literally did not have the money to fork out anymore?
And they go bust.
But then they'd be out of the league and then they get penalised for that as well.
What? That's what happened to Macclesfield.
Yeah, but that was a lower league. If it was a Premier League, I think there's some responsibility on the Premier League to step in and help out. But we'll see. We'll see. They have to be in such good shape to play. They do. A lot of them over here don't put much effort into general fitness, though. They train for about 90 minutes a day, and that's mainly tactics. So they'll do a warm-up, they'll do a warm-down, but mainly it's tactics. And I sometimes think they could do with a little bit more fitness training or strength training. There's too much poncing about. In fact, they actually have too much spare time. That's when they get into mischief, when they've got too much spare time. And it really is when they get into mischief. So they shouldn't be getting into mischief, but that's what happens. But at the minute with this, they've actually stepped up, haven't they? Like Rashford. So they're now visiting people in need and doing charity work, which actually is working out better than them being, you know, at the local disco doing whatever. Definitely leave them out of that. The AFL has just finished the regular season and the grand final will be played out of state in Queensland for the first time ever. Wow. I see that's a whole other mystery to me, Paul. The Aussie League, total mystery. Isn't that where they can throw the ball as well? Reminds me of Gaelic football.
Yeah.
We had players from Gaelic football, didn't we? McGrath.
Yeah, Kevin Moran.
Yeah, McGrath played as well. And they all seemed to be defenders, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes. So, we're winding down. What week are we in? Totally
20-something.
27, I think.
I think it's 27.
I think we're reaching the end of week 27, but obviously, you know, I've totally lost the will to live at this stage.
I've lost the plot.
I've lost the will to count, absolutely. But I was putting in dates today. So I was actually in the back end of YouTube, and we have Mac Bites After Hours up to and including, ready now? 1st of January 2021. Please don't say 2021 will be worse than 2020. Although, can I actually say, I mean, obviously COVID, not good.
Mm.
But production-wise, been a complete triumph, hasn't it?
True.
You see, all it was ever going to take was to lock us in the house. If only Jonathan had have known that earlier. He'd have been round and bricked up the doors, wouldn't he? And he's that close, he could brick the doors up as well. He's 8 miles up the road. Oh, poor Jonathan. They created bubbles across the country where groups of teams stayed and played. Yeah, we've tried bubbles here, but I think the people are too stupid for it, to be honest. Not being rude, but, you know, honestly, some people. Really? Like all these parties that are happening at Blackpool. Blackpool is alive. I can only imagine what that hat diagram's going to look like. Put the link in earlier. The, did I put the link in? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was the one with the diagram. I did put the link in. I mean, that's frightening. I think the only reason there's not been more deaths is that the people who probably had the weakest immunity to it are already dead. But, you know, that will happen again. That will definitely happen again. So week 27. So what we got planned for week 28? Let's get the diary up and have a look what we've got planned. Oh, we do need to think about a map bias, don't we? It's all right, Jonathan's not here. 1, 3, 4. Yeah, need to think about it, but I've managed to quadruply book, kind of cross-book myself on Tuesday. It's not a good Tuesday, is it? Honestly. I've got a session I'm supposed to be in. I've got another session I'm supposed to be in. These are all at the same time. I've got a full governor's meeting in Zoom. So that's the third thing at the same time. Immediately after that, I've got another session I'm supposed to be in and marooned at 7 o'clock. So that's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, four I've managed there. 5 if you include marooned. And in the middle of all that, Mike's doing a webinar. So I wish you could see my calendar for Tuesday. It's not good. Not good at all. Actually, is Wednesday much better? I've triple booked myself on Wednesday. You're wondering how I do this, aren't you? Well, sessions are on at the time that they're on, and I don't particularly get an opportunity for some of them to shift them. Oh, and you've got a webinar as well. Oh, and you've got a webinar. In fact, it's a full week for webinars for you.
Mm.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, webinar, webinar, webinar. I'm just checking times. Yeah, Tuesday's the problem, isn't it? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We've got 12 events, you know, 12 appointmenty things between 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So that's going to take some careful management. We'll just say that. Careful management. It'll be doable. Some will have to be recorded and participated of later. But it is going to be complicated, that. I might well need 4 computers on that job, Mike. But do you know what? I'm not thinking about it until Tuesday.
No.
Right. We haven't got anybody back in the Premier League stands yet, have we?
No.
But I do believe the lower leagues have let some people in.
Yeah, I think they've.
But now it's kicking off again. I think that's going to have to stop. So we'll see how that goes. Anthony's relaxing this week and next. It's a staycation, Anthony. Now, the burning question with that is there any DIY on the horizon? Because with staycations, that's always the biggest calamity, isn't it? If there's any DIY left lying around, it's, oh, while we're off, and that's the end of that. Mind you, we went into it like that, didn't we? And the long list of things to be done is still there. We did do lots, just wasn't the stuff on the list. So let me know, do you have any DIY? You can have quite a good staycation, I think. which I'm not overly fond of going away. If I go away, I always find out that there's something I've forgotten that I need to take with me. This is why I always take a lot of kit with me. Oh, nothing like that. In that case, Anthony, it's going to be perfect, isn't it? What we need to do is be tweaking your system and things and just generally playing. It's going to be a fabulous 2 weeks. Can't wait to share it with you. Oh, Kim's going to try and replace the kitchen faucet this week. Do you know what, Kim? Don't know how you've managed that, but Kath's doing exactly the same job. She posted into the Catinian group looking for a plumber. She said, can anybody take the tap off? Drill a hole in a new unit top and then put the sink in it. So, yeah, she's doing exactly that same job. You'll be able to compare notes in the by request group. Did she ever find anybody or didn't we hear?
Didn't hear.
Oh, so we might have pictures next week. I don't know how you've managed that, the two of you. restricted the crowds. Queensland's got hardly any COVID cases. How have they managed it? Would they like to borrow Boris for a while? And can we borrow whoever's in charge there? Because we've got plenty of it to go around. And Anthony's got a Kindle full of books. Plenty to watch on YouTube, Netflix and Amazon Prime. You see, that sounds like my kind of holiday. That would be perfect. Can't guarantee the weather, obviously. But, you know, always a sun lamp if you're that way inclined. Or sitting under a garden hose if, like me, you prefer it cool. Yep. I can highly recommend staycations, particularly given the idiots that are out there, and we all know they're out there. Lock the borders and we're sensible. Yeah, you know, you see, Paul, the thing is, the sensible people over here suggested exactly the same. Trouble is, the idiots won. And now we're all still locked down and people are out there. Having parties. There are no words for the idiocy you will see. I guarantee tomorrow morning's papers, in fact, didn't one of today's papers have a picture of two girls on it? And I thought, how on earth these girls would ever get a job in the future was beyond me. You know, when people search social media when you go for an interview, let me see if I can find today's papers. I think they're usually on the home bit. Come on, today's papers. Oh, come on, BBC, honestly. Take the papers away. Let me try Sky, because I don't want to have to visit the pages. I get very upset with that. Let's see if they're on Sky. Another 3,899 cases. Rule breakers to face £10,000 fines. If you're breaking the rules, the odds are you've not got £10,000 to pay. I wouldn't think so. Oh, there's none in there either. They've taken away the papers. Oh, how stupid. Isn't it at the bottom? No, basically it was these two girls. Almost had clothes on. But as I say, only just. Miniskirt dresses type things. Looked at slightly the wrong way. It left nothing to the imagination. They were drinking and they were together. I don't know if they're in the same household or what. But I can't find the picture, which is very annoying. Very, very annoying. Unless I tried UK. Is it under UK? Because the UK papers? Do you know, if I organise this, things would be... Ah, there you go, see? Sunday papers. Ah. Right, where is it? There it is. Front of the Sunday Times. Honestly, ladies. And when I say ladies, let me know if you can see it from that link, which is the direct one. But can you imagine those two appearing looking for a job? I think that's Blackpool. But to be honest, the way the country's gone, it could be anywhere. Could be anywhere this weekend. Kim doesn't know why some people just can't do what they need to do and not spread the COVID. Me too. And if they did, a lockdown would hardly be needed. Totally agree. It's just people being stupid. Because the ones that were doing the key workers... You know, we're out in the midst of all this. The doctors, the nurses, the drivers, the delivery folk, the shop people, they were out and the figures were going down. It was only when they decided to let the rest of us out to the pub that the trouble started. And unbelievably, the pubs are still open. So you can go out, but at 10 o'clock, COVID comes out. Apparently, we have a 10 o'clock curfew in places. COVID is only catchable after 10 at night. Anybody believe that? No, me neither. One of the nurses at the Cancer Institute was in the middle of the protest. How does that work? It's insanity, this. I mean, Anthony said there was protests in London. I must admit, I've not seen much in the way of protests here, but I can't understand anybody's logic. If there's any chance of saving a life, or at least, you know, not harming anybody, why can't you just stay in? And I don't mean for 5 minutes. Could you not stay in for, like, if we'd have said 6 months at the beginning, people would have been horrified. But look where we are now. So why not? If literally you'd have locked people down completely, only the key workers going out, you wouldn't be in this mess now. And Boris is just like, oh, the second wave's coming, second wave's coming. Well, he was the one who said, whatever happens, we mustn't have a second wave. And now we've got a second wave, and he's like, oh, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand people. I don't understand politicians. But I consider that to be an advantage in life rather than a disadvantage. Oh, I see. How weird. They say social issues are more important than spreading COVID. I'm assuming they wouldn't say that if they're in hospital dying of it. That I guess they're just playing the numbers. And the odds are the majority of them, even if they got it, wouldn't be in the really serious 3%. But somebody that they love could be. I can't understand that. I know there's all a lot of the land of the free involved in it, but even so, there are occasions. All I think is, can you imagine, instead of this being like an unseen threat that people can literally say, I don't believe in it, can you imagine if we'd been invaded, like in one of these sci-fi films, and there were like Triffids combing the streets? We'd be dead, wouldn't we?
Mm.
The way people have gone on with COVID, it, like, I, you know, this Triffid in front of me, about to kill me, I don't believe in it. It's a shame we can't see COVID in a way. Paul, I'm with you. Can't believe 6 months ago we debated shutting down for a few weeks to stop it. We didn't do it. We did, and it didn't go bad for a while. The thing was, he never actually said, we are now out of lockdown. What he did was, and words speak stronger than actions, him and his buddy, Dominic Cummings, it was, I know, we'll ease the restrictions a little bit on Independence Day. And that was what was splashed across all of the papers. So people thought, oh, well, right, that's it then. And even intelligent people like your mother are like, where are we at now?
Mm.
Because there's no, like, status board in a way for, you know, put your postcode in, don't do this. There isn't. So you've got to ask your neighbour, at which point you're knocking on the door, aren't you? And asking the neighbour. I give up. I give up. Can you imagine, Paul, that 6 months from now we'll be saying, do you remember when we discussed it 6 months ago? And the figures are still rising. Yeah, it's going to be like that. I can well see that coming. But never mind. We're into a whole new week next week. Ours is crazy busy. Anthony's going to be sharing his holiday with us, which is fabulous. We would love updates. What books have you picked and what videos have you picked to watch? What else have we got on this week? 3 million meetings that I've got to sort out. And some stuff that was cancelled as well to work around. But, yeah, the week could be worse. Last full week in September. It could be worse. But on the upside, we've got 7 episodes of Maroon to look forward to and an After Hours. And we mustn't mention 1, 3, 4. But yeah. At some point, 1, 3, 4 will occur as well. I've got sessions overnight as well. Do you know, I'd forgotten, Mike, I've got one at 1 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got one at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning as well and 2 o'clock on Thursday morning.
Well, that's fine. I'll keep myself company.
You'll get there in
the
end.
Me and the dog.
The trouble is, the 2 o'clock in the morning ones don't finish till 4. Oh, well, can't be helped. That's the time that they're on. Never mind. Although I did get to bed a little bit earlier last night, didn't I? I went about 3:25, which is very impressive. This was because I had to be up at 9:30 this morning. I've not done 9:30
Not for mass, though.
Not for mass, no. No, the priest would be very upset, but never mind. Where did that just disappear to? I got a message flying across the screen and it just disappeared. Kim's working on her genealogy 200 years ago. Flu plague killed one of my relatives. It came from Hong Kong. 100 years ago, my grandmother had the Spanish flu. Kim, don't follow suit. We do not want you getting COVID. Cannot get COVID. Everybody look after themselves. We're going to see this out however long it takes. We will beat this, despite the politicians, despite people protesting. I wonder, because I didn't do history to any great degree, I wonder if there was any protests back during Spanish flu and back during the other plagues. I'd love to know that. There's a challenge for people. If you know the answer to that, bring along some information tomorrow and share it with us. But for the moment, we're going to go and get something to eat.
We are.
Oh, excellent. So for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both
see you next time.
Stay safe, guys.